The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
So, you know, you go on vacation, you come back and you say, I'd like to hit the ground running. I'd like to make some news here. I'd like to learn some things. I'd like to do things for this audience that I've missed so much. How about Governor Greg Abbott? How about Bill O'Reilly to tell us about his December 19th gig at the American Airlines Center with Trump? He'll be along 8:35. How about Joe Barton, who filled that Texas 6th District seat for 34 years? What is he thinking about this whole Jake Elzie, Susan Wright thing where early voting starts today? Well, that is today's slate. So let's roll right to the phone. Say hi to Governor Abbott. Morning, sir. How you doing?
Morning, Mark. How you doing, man?
Absolutely.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much. And I was regaling the governor with the stories of my time off because I, unlike the Democrats, I did not get on a plane. And I stayed right here in our great state of Texas. And you know what? Lord knows we got plenty of things to talk about. But let's do something you and I just spoke of, because I spent a good 3-4 minutes lamenting the squalor of Austin, having seen it firsthand, and you have progress to report suggesting that what I saw, northbound on 35, popping off at a couple of exits, actually may be a little less alarming than a few months ago. Maybe things are getting better in Austin?
Well, there's some progress, maybe an overstatement, but as you probably noticed over the past week, over the course of your vacation, and maybe even before that, there's been surfaced. Now, all of this great public debate about what's going on in Cuba and communism and the ill effects of communism and how oppressed people are because of communism and how we need to fight back against communism, how we need to free people, et cetera. We don't need to look to Cuba. Just look to Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas is almost the epitome of communism. We've seen the failures of it in Austin, Texas. The thing that you and I were talking about was the homelessness in the way that Austin has refused to step up and address the homeless situation, and how you saw so much homeless camping occur all across the beautiful city of Austin, Texas. And what I was telling Mark is that as bad as it looks right now, it actually is better because the city of Austin itself, including the Democrats, including the liberals in Austin, Texas, they passed Proposition B that required the city of Austin to reinstate a ban on camping. And so through multiple steps, it actually has gotten better, but it's going to be getting even better because the state of Texas, during the regular session, we passed a law that requires cities to have a ban on homeless camping. But listen, we need to understand that homelessness is a very complex issue and needs to be addressed in multiple different ways. However, I think we can all agree that allowing the homeless to sleep, lie, candidly, to defecate and urinate wherever they want, including what was going on in Austin, where there were stabbings, there was arson, there was horrific things taking place, completely unacceptable, but it does not help even the homeless. But another byproduct, of course, is something that we also addressed in the session, and that is the city of Austin, they defunded their police. Mm-hmm. And that is another thing that led to lawlessness in the city of Austin. And one of the things that we passed during the regular session is we prevent cities from being able to defund the police. And lo and behold, last week, the recommendation to the city council in Austin, Texas, is they add back, I think it was like $150 million to hire police, to hire back their recruit cadet class, things like that. And so it looks like these laws that we passed during the regular session are having an effect on trying to stem the tide of communistic regime in Austin, Texas, and reinstill a sense of common sense in Austin, Texas, in governing.
Well, I tell you, it's our state capital, and the politics can be what they are, and they are a little wacky down there. But and you live there, you know it firsthand, but I want better for the capital city of my state. And it was so great to see so much of our fine state during my week off, but now we're back, and there are things in the news. In what universe did the Democrats think cutting and running would look good for them?
Listen, it never works. You probably remember what happened back during the redistricting years when
03.
They cut and run at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it didn't work out well for them at that time. They lost seats at the upcoming election at that time. But, Mark, there's a more fundamental issue here. It's the most un-Texan thing to do to cut and run. The history of Texas in our great beginning was based upon the fact that Texans don't cut and run. They will stand and fight. And what these Democrats have done, they refuse to stand and fight. They cut and run. Things weren't going their way. It's also the epitome of a typical sports play instead of Texas. If you're losing or if you think you're going to lose in a football game or whatever, you decide you're not going to show up or you're just going to leave after the third quarter, whatever the case may be. However you want to look at it, this is un-Texan for them to do what they're doing, and that they certainly are not putting their voices at play in the Capitol. They're not doing what they were elected to do, which is go to the Capitol and cast votes and fight for the people in the Capitol. But here's what we also know, Mark, and that is that this is all for nothing, because you know that as soon as they come back to the state of Texas, I'm going to be calling another special session. And I can call special session after special session after special session all the way up until election day of next year. So this is going to get passed. And so this is all a complete waste of time. I have to add this, Mark, because there's one other thing that really makes all of this worse than anything else. And that is they've gone to Washington, D.C., and they've done nothing other than to tell lies about what the Election Integrity Bill actually does. And by them distorting what the Election Integrity Bill actually does, it causes distrust by the Republicans about the Democrats that they're trying to work with. And so they are undercutting themselves every single day in every single way, and it will turn out to be a big mistake. And then I have to add this, Mark. I know I'm talking
a lot. No, you're fine. You're fine.
Your audience needs to know this, and that is, sure, we had election integrity on the special session bill, but we had so much more that needed to pass. I'm going to tell you a story that Senator Joan Huffman was saying. Senator Joan Huffman is the Senate author for bail reform, and the Senate passed out bail reform in the special session. What bail reform is something that would affect Dallas County, because we've seen this disaster in Dallas County and Harris County and Travis County and so many other counties where people are being arrested for violent crimes and being released from bail, sometimes on personal recognizance, and let back out into the community. And what Senator Huffman said, if I recall correctly, and that is, since the Democrats broke quorum at the end of the regular session up until she was talking last week, there had been 5 people killed in the state of Texas who were released on bail. This is deadly, dangerous, what is taking place. And our fellow Texans are going to get angry about the Democrats who are not showing up. Think about it. If you didn't show up to work, would you get paid? Your audience, if you decided, listen, I don't like the way things are going in my office, I'm going to abscond for a month and go to Washington, D.C., or go wherever they want to go for a month. Will they get paid? Will they lose their job? Employers don't put up with this. And the employer of these state representatives in Washington, D.C., are the voters. And I believe their voters are going to punish them at the ballot box this next election.
Even on vacation, a few things poked through as I was following the news. And I heard this little whiff of your intention to arrest them when they come back. Is that still on the table?
Well, it is. Let me explain how this works. And that is, this is based in the Constitution. And what the Constitution says is whenever there's a break in quorum, the chamber where the quorum is broken has the legal authority to take whatever action they need. And this is based upon House rules also. And that is the House can issue what's called a call on the House. And what that means is the sergeant at arms is charged with the authority to go out and apprehend, for lack of a better word, the missing House members and bring them to the Capitol. The reason why this is not being done right now is because the people who have broke the quorum, they're in Washington, D.C., and the jurisdiction for Texas law enforcement does not go outside our own state. And that's why the Democrats in prior quorum breaks, they went to Ardmore and Albuquerque and places like that. Mm-hmm. So they were able to get out of the state. But listen, once they come back to the state of Texas, and either during this special session or the next special session, if they are in the state of Texas and do not show up for work, based upon the House call, the sergeant at arms will be working with the Texas Department of Public Safety to escort them back to the Capitol.
Isn't it likely that once they return to the state, that means that they are willing to, in fact, come back? So this is probably not really going to happen.
I think and I hope that is the case. Mm-hmm. And candidly, they better hope this the case for them, because if they come back to the state of Texas, and we have all these important issues, and I didn't mention property taxes being on the session, reducing people's property taxes. And if they don't show up to work to address all of these issues, their voters have to be asking, why do we even put these people in office in the first place? And that's exactly why they will be losing their job in the future.
So special session underway. Governor Greg Abbott is with us. And so I spent a lot of time the day you had the proclamation on. I went through bit by bit paragraph of things that are in there. And I was talking to some people. I said, it seems pretty thorough. All kinds of really good things are on there. There are a couple of things where people went, why isn't this on there? And one of them was, even though on the crazy issue of gender bending, there is the initiative to keep a boy from being next to your daughter on the track team, and they're competing in the track meet. But curiously, absent was a notion of a law to make it illegal to carve up our kids or pump them full of hormones in order to change their sex when they are still minors. Why wasn't that in the call?
Because we have another solution that will address that problem that will be announced shortly. I know you would like me to announce it on your show.
That'd be good.
but not today. But the solution should be announced within the next week. I'll be candid with you. I'll tell you what everybody knows, and that is the chances of that passing during the session in the House of Representatives was nil.
In a conservative state with Republicans in charge, a law that says we're not going to let you carve up your 10th grader because he thinks he's a girl. How in God's name does that not pass in Texas?
I can't answer for that other than I can gain the odds. However, what I can tell you is I have another way of achieving the exact same thing. And it's about a finished product as we speak right now and may be announced as soon as this week.
So I will respect your timing on that and just ask one more thing, that when that solution does make itself known, will the end result, if, as you said, the bottom line is what matters, is that crazy parents and crazy doctors will not be able to try to turn girls into boys and vice versa in the state of Texas?
Yes.
Okay. So driving around Texas, I'll tell you what I saw. That's a whole lot of Don Huffines billboards. How's the race going?
Well, I'll be honest with you. When you look at what I was dealing with the regular session, and then we went through that 10-day period, the only time, let's say the regular session and the special session, I had exactly 10 days to focus on my campaign for governor. And the only thing I was able to do during those 10 days is raise money.
and a lot of it, I hear.
and then we went to the special session. And candidly, I think you know what's going to be happening in the future, and that is after this special session, we're going to be calling at least two more special sessions. We're going to call another one to deal with the issues that were on the first special session, and then another one after that to deal with the redistricting. And so I've got nothing but legislative work ahead of me. I'm fortunate that I was able to spend at least 10 days to raise money, and candidly, in doing so, setting an all-time record for the amount that was raised. And I got to tell you why. I heard two things from the donors who were more than happy to provide the resources needed to win a campaign. They were extremely pleased with the way that the regular session went, but they were at the same time extremely concerned about the future potential of Texas going down a dangerous socialistic pathway if somebody like Beto O'Rourke were to be elected. And so the support out there is extremely strong and generous and it's going to be sufficient to make sure that I'm going to be able to win in November 2022.
And a recent UT Texas Tribune poll showed you with 77% Republican support. Here's where primaries are weird. You've known it a long time. I have too. Where people, we love each other. I mean, you, me, Don Huffines, Alan West. We've probably all been in the room at the same time 14 times. Now, all of a sudden, these guys are coming at you every day. It's strange. Is that just the nature of the beast?
It's just the nature of the beast. And when I finally get around to being able to campaign, here's what I know, because it's what I've seen when I've gone out and given speeches so far. And that is people, Republicans in particular, across the entire state of Texas, are fired up about what we've done. But when I say people being stretching it beyond just Republicans, one thing that we saw during the presidential election was the way that President Trump was able to win so many votes in what had been blue counties along the border. And it could be one or two counties inside the border. And we found out the reasons why, and that's because of their position where they, contrary to what the Democrats say, the people who live in these border counties, they really do want their border secured, and they really do want their energy jobs, et cetera. And so what we are doing right now with regard to building a border wall, arresting people who come across the border, things like that, these are popular issues along the border as well as in other communities across the state of Texas. So my point in telling you that, and that is we have an agenda and we have successes that will help us not only win Republican votes, but also that will help us reach beyond the Republican Party and bring in some Democrats and maybe win some counties in South Texas that have been blue for over a century.
And last thing, Governor Abbott, with us, speaking of the border, you were at the border with Trump not long ago. You were at the border with DeSantis. And I know you guys are compadres in many ways. Here, I'm just dying to know this. Have you had it up your eyeballs with being compared? It was like, well, I like Abbott, but he's like Ron DeSantis 4 weeks later, because they say you open Texas, but not quickly enough. Heartbeat bill and constitutional carry, but we didn't, quote unquote, lead. I know this is sort of probably the Don Huffines, Alan West talking points, but I'm guessing you love DeSantis, but are you getting a little your fill of those comparisons?
Well, I'll tell you several things. First, they don't have constitutional carry in Florida. They don't have the heartbeat bill in Florida, things like that. But people need to understand something that they simply don't know. And that is Ron DeSantis and I are good friends. You may recall that it was just last year that I was the chairman of the Republican Governors Association. I'm very, very close with all of these Republican governors across the country. DeSantis and I do a lot of things together. We talk in ways and times that people have no idea about. So we are compadres, using the word that you chose. I just kind of roll my eyes and scoff a little bit when people say these things. But all of us Republican governors, we work collaboratively together because, listen, we have a bigger agenda, and that is to make sure that we make the United States of America more Republican. And we achieved that in part even during the time of the COVID year when we added another Republican seat among the governors in the United States of America. And our goal is to keep doing that. And we work together to achieve those goals.
It is the summer of special sessions, and the guy calling them is on the phone. Governor Greg Abbott, continued safety, success, and health to you, sir. Thanks. Let's talk again soon. We always appreciate it.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mark.
Governor Greg Abbott, Mark Davis, 826. All right. A fast-paced show loaded with top-notch guests. Holy cow. And next up, so guess who's going to be on stage December 19th at the American Airlines Center? Donald Trump. Guess who's going to be chatting him up? Bill O'Reilly. O'Reilly joins us next. Mark Davis on 660 AM The Answer. The freshly returned Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom where we like him to be. It's 8:31. Now, wait a minute, you may say. Isn't this the Vince Guaraldi trio from the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack? And the answer is yes, it is. So what am I doing? Well, I'm putting you in the image of the Christmas season, making you think about the Christmas season. Imagine that it's December 19th and Christmas is on the near horizon. And maybe you have done something magnificent for your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. And it can be someone who loves Trump or somebody who's just fascinated by that chunk of history. Because face it, who's not? And, you know, Trump himself will bend your ear about his presidency for a good long time. And that's great. But if you have Bill O'Reilly on a stage who's known him for decades, guiding him with that historian journalist guiding hand, that is something not to be missed. Ticketmaster and other locations selling the tickets right now, and they are being snapped up fast at the American Airlines Center here in DFW. There are two in Texas, two in Florida. And to tell us how that might go, Bill O'Reilly is here. Welcome back, sir. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me in, Mark, and I hope you'll come backstage at the American Airlines Arena when the show commences on the 19th of December. So I'd like to meet you. We got your ticket already. You invite who you want because you've been very kind to us, and I want to tell everybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that, you know, we've talked over the years, and you're just a straight shooter. You know, most of them, I have to say, are just charlatans, and they don't tell you the truth. But you tell the folks the truth. So it is my pleasure to get you into that show, and I hope you'll come back.
Well, Lisa and I would be thrilled. Thank you so very, very much. I appreciate it.
No. I mean, look, there's so much garbage and so many lies. I just give you one. You know, over the weekend, there was a hit piece from Politico, which is just a hateful far-left website. Oh, the Trump shows aren't doing well. In Dallas, at you know, obviously the aforementioned American Airlines Arena, and I don't know if the Mavs are going to be there, but I think they may, and we'll get the Stars into the show. We'll get everybody in. All the VIPs are sold out without any marketing at all. We haven't done any marketing yet, okay? And all of the VIP tickets, and they are expensive tickets, they're all gone. Now, you can get good seats to see us, and we're going to start our marketing in earnest in about 10 days. So it's good to get in now because you'll get some good seats. But these shows are going to sell out, and they're going to be record-breaking revenues. Yet you got to deal with these people who have no regulations, no morals, no scruples, no anything, who put this garbage out on the net, and then it goes all throughout the left-wing ecosystem. And that's the country we live in now. And it really infuriates me, but all I can do is the best. And you probably encapsulated that pretty well. This isn't going to be a rally for Donald Trump. All right, we're not going to be sitting there going, we're not going to relitigate the election. we're not going to do any of that. Okay? We're going to go, how'd you get the vax? I want to walk through this. All right, what about Putin? Does Putin speak English? When you're on the phone with him, how does that go down? Did you have any beef with Putin? You know, he obviously tried to hack into our election. What'd you say to him? Those are the things that I'm going to ask, and he'll answer them. We did a preview on BillO'Reilly.com, an interview 10 days ago with him, and I said, this is what it's going to look like. And the 45th president answered my questions, except one. When I said, how does it feel to be the most controversial president in history? He goes, oh, I'm not. I went, what? What?
Who's even close? Thank you. Exactly. Come on.
Right. So no cupcake interview. It's going to be a fabulous night. Great Christmas present to see the Trump O'Reilly History Tour. But more importantly, if you really care about your country, if you really love your country, even if you despise Donald Trump, don't you want to know what happened? I do.
Yeah. It is of historical value. And in fact, to watch him, because we all know the known commodity that is Trump and the known commodity that is Bill O'Reilly, who's known him forever, wrote The United States of Trump, which is not a puff piece by any stretch, calls balls and strikes, that you're going to guide him in ways that he probably would not guide himself at a MAGA rally. And therein lies the historical benefit of such an event.
Sure. And when... The overarch of this is, and I think people in Texas understand this probably better than any other state in the union, we're under siege here. Okay, we traditional Americans, and I think that's who you speak to, Mark, on Case Guy, we're under siege. This is a social civil war, and we need to be armed and dangerous with the facts. All right, so, yeah, I understand why people don't like Donald Trump. I understand why he lost the election. It wasn't policy. It wasn't policy. It was a personal election. And he lost because a number of people just didn't like his style. not because of what he did in office. If you compare what Biden has done in 7 months to what Trump did, I mean, it's two different universes. And I have a column just filed on BillO'Reilly.com about the unbelievable border situation. But it's even worse than you think. And you know, I hope people go to BillO'Reilly.com and read that column. But it's worse than you think. So in the middle of a social civil war, it benefits all traditional people to really know what's happening and then tell other people, because most people don't pay attention. You know, most people don't listen to you and me. We get big audiences, yes. But, you know, majority of people, they got the headphones on or listening to Bad Bunny or whatever it is they're doing. They don't know anything.
Bad Bunny. He pulls out Bad Bunny, ladies and gentlemen. It's Bill O'Reilly. I have something I think you're going to ask him, and I think I know how it's going to go. See if you think if you agree with me. I think you'll ask him about his level of interest in running in 24. He will tease us.
I know. Right away, I've reported that.
Yeah, well, I think he'll tease us.
Here's what I think. And on TV.
Here's what I think. I don't remember who it was. I think he told somebody. We had Rick Grinnell and everybody saying, oh, he's running. He has no idea if he's running. He may not. But whether he does or not, he will enjoy making us think he will up to the very last minute. What do you think?
That's an astute analysis, but he told me he wants to run.
Well, wants to.
And wants to.
Of course he wants
to. Face to face, eye to eye. And he's never misled me. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. He does exaggerate. He does use hyperbole. He doesn't check out a lot of things before he says them. That's all true. But to me, when I ask him a question, and this goes three decades, he's never misled me. And I said, you want to? I didn't say, are you going to run?
Right,
because
sure.
Nobody knows that yet.
Right.
It's just too early.
Including him.
Right. And things are going to change in the next year dramatically in this country, which is why your audience should stay close to you and my audience should stay close to me. So you're ahead of that. But anyway, he does want to run again. There's no doubt in my mind he does. He's raising money. He's set up an infrastructure. He's bored to death putting in Mar-a-Lago. I mean, and on and on.
And the thought of pulling the Grover Cleveland, as it's called, of two non-consecutive terms, I know that is the stuff of dreams. But as a dispassionate observer, and this is what makes you great on stage December 19th with him, let me ask you the following. If indeed the loss to Biden was more personal than policy related, is it perhaps best for conservatives to hope for the Trump agenda from another messenger, perhaps a Ron DeSantis?
He's going to offer DeSantis a number two.
Yeah, well.
That's the plan now. He didn't tell me that, but I know that.
And if he did, DeSantis would take it, and that would be several types of awesome. But that wasn't exactly my question. If indeed,
no, I understand.
So
I'll go ahead. I want to hit the headline first.
Mm-hmm.
So DeSantis will be the two if Trump decides to go. That takes him out. Now, whether DeSantis will want a primary Trump will be interesting. Now, DeSantis, remember, if he takes the two, he walks in 4 years to the one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Trump's only got 4 years if he would be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So my calculation is your calculation. That DeSantis would probably take it. Now, will Donald Trump moderate the bombasticity? He understands it hurt him. There's no doubt he does. I mean, I shouldn't say there's no doubt. He told me, you know, I can't tell you, you know, after I interviewed him 10 days ago, I had just dinner with him, me and him.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak to the president respectfully because he's the president. But I tell him the truth. I'm a straight shooter like you. And I said, you got to moderate it, you know. And he looks and he looks. And then the next day he goes out and throws five hand grenades, you know.
Because it doesn't really matter,
you know. But I think he might attempt to moderate a little bit, maybe. But if things keep going the way they're going in this country, particularly economically, he might not have to, because it is shaping up to be one nasty economic agenda here under the Biden administration. Yeah,
between borders, between the economy, between inflation, between the cultural. I mean, the things are just sliding off the moorings in ways that no one could have foreseen. And I don't want to sit here and talk about a wave election in 24 anymore than I want to talk about a wave election in 22. I take nothing for granted. But Lord, anybody with a brainstem has to take a look at the status quo and say things are not working.
Well, you know, but that's an interesting statement, because you say anybody with a brain.
Well, that's hyperbole. That is hyperbole, because obviously half of America is happy. Roughly half is thrilled right now.
That's right, because they're creating a socialistic system, and people go, oh, so yeah, you're exaggerating. Yeah. No, I'm not. The goal of the Biden administration and progressive left is to have the entire economy run from Washington, not Austin, not the state capitals. And so in order to achieve that, they're sending people money, as much money as they can possibly print. And that's where the tension arises. So if you are a capitalist and you are working hard and saving your money and earning your money is going to be eroded by Joe Biden, and he's going to take as much as he can through taxation. But the people who don't do that, all right, the people who are marginal, who have an income but it's not large, they are benefiting from this socialist bent, agenda. And that is what we're going to have to see in 22, whether they say it isn't worth it because the rest of my life is going to hell. I mean, who likes – I wrote a column 2 weeks ago, Mark. I said, I don't know any woke people. No one will admit to me they're woke. Do you know any woke people?
I may. There are folks who are it seems like an affectation, but there, I guess most of the people I see who knowingly and willfully adopt this tend to be doing it in cable TV segments rather than over coffee.
But they're not real people.
Right.
Those people on cable TV and network TV, they're not human beings. Okay, believe me, I worked there. You know, for more than 20 years.
He knows.
They're not people. You know, what they are calculators. Okay, I get a nice paycheck. What do you want me to say?
But it doesn't mean it's not real.
That's exactly. Because
you're right. But you're right in terms of pontificating. But when you find when you find an instructor at the Air Force Academy embracing critical race theory, that's a real person.
But if he doesn't, then his commander ships him off to South Korea. All right? So look, if you walk around, if you go, my favorite restaurant in Dallas is Celebration. Have you ever been there?
Have indeed.
It's tremendous. I love it. And I've worked in Dallas for 2 years, as you know, and every time I go back, I'll make it to Celebration. Been there forever. If you go into Celebration and you ask every diner and every person working there, are you woke? 100% I'm looking at you. Are you kidding me? All right. And go down to any mall. Are you woke? Nobody will admit it. It's a purely fabricated, media-driven situation that now has infected the U.S. military to some extent. But you think the rank and file at Paris Island training for the Marine Corps are woke? They're not. Okay? And this is what I mean. This is my quest to try to cut through that corrupt media and bring the true message to the American people. And that's what we're going to do in the Trump-O'Reilly history tour. We're going to tell you this is what happened in 4 years. This is what really happened, not what NBC News distorted. Here's what really happened. And on the right, there was distortion too. The people who love Trump distorted the situation as well. So you're going to get what really happened in those 2 hours and 20 minutes.
To learn more, BillO'Reilly.com, tickets at Ticketmaster, and continuing the list of Bill O'Reilly plugs, Celebration, get the pot roast. They're on Lover's Lane in Dallas.
That's right.
get the pot roast. and then when it's book shopping time, killing the mob, killing the SS, killing Crazy Horse, whoever else Bill and Martin Dugard have killed, get that book, because that's time well spent as well. Well, Bill, I thank you for your graciousness. I look forward to seeing you on the 19th and your guest, who is of note, and talking to you perhaps a number of times between now and then. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Mark. Thanks for having me in.
That is Bill O'Reilly. Mark Davis, 852.
21 and strong as I can be. I know what freedom means to me.
What have we here?
And I can't give a reason why.
It's the Eagles from Desperado.
I should ever wanna die.
And the greatness of 21. In a relative rarity in the Eagles' world, the Bernie Ledden vocal. And the songwriting credit. Bernie was so big, so very, very big on the first album and on the Border and Desperado.
Just trying to add what I...
By the time they get to one of these nights, Don Felder had been invited in. By the time they get to Hotel California, well, it's Joe Walsh in and Bernie Ledden out. But it's Bernie Ledden's birthday. He and Brian May of Queen, same birthday. They're both 74 today. I mean, same exact day. Alrighty, next up, a word or two about that 6th District congressional runoff, Jake Elzey and Susan Wright. I have some things to say about that. You know who else does? Former Congressman Joe Barton, who filled that seat for 34 years. He'll join us next. So will you on Stuff on Your Mind as we roll on our Monday show. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Stick around.